This podcast contains adult themes and language, and some of the things that we discuss may be disturbing to some listeners. In this podcast, we discuss sexual assault, torture, race, and murder. Listener discretion is advised.
Everybody, and welcome to Fruit Loops. Thank you so much for listening. Fruit Loops is a podcast about true crimes committed by people of color and their victims that we do not hear or know much about. Contrary to popular belief, not all serial killers are white dudes. No, there are many well-documented cases of serial killers of color, and Fruit Loops is a podcast all about them. We will take deep dives into the fascinating lives and crimes of serial killers and true crimes committed by people of color and their victims that the media and entertainment commonly leave out because the news is racist, allegedly.
And we are Wendy and Beth. She's Wendy. I'm Beth. We're not journalists, investigators, or psychologists, just a couple of gals interested in true crime. Also, the opinions expressed in this podcast are just that, our opinions. If you want to get at us, we are at Fruit Loops Pod on all of the things, or leave us a voicemail at 602-935-6294.
That's right, and if you want to support the show, you can send us a donation on the Cash App, or you can become a monthly patron through our Podbean patron page. We also have some merch for sale on our website, but if you can't help monetarily, no problem. You can always give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you get your podcasts from. And this is the most important part. Be sure to share our show with your friends.
Yeah.
So who are we talking about today? What's going on? What's the tea?
Well, today we're going to play an interview for you that we did with Phil Chalmers and Delmas Colvin. Phil Chalmers is a true crime writer, a law enforcement trainer, and a television personality. He has appeared on many television shows, including Killer Kids on A&E and Crime Watch Daily. He is also the author of several books, including Inside the Mind of a Teen Killer, and he's working on a book about serial killers. He has interviewed many serial killers and is very familiar with hundreds of Black male serial killers. And Delmas Colvin, we covered him in Season 2, Episode 15. Phil apparently speaks to him regularly, and we made an offhand comment in that episode about wanting to talk to him. Phil reached out to us, and we couldn't say no.
That's right. We could not say no, but we don't. We wanted to say that we are not serial killer like sympathizers, but we thought that it would be interesting to talk to him, and it certainly was to talk to Delmas, and it was an honor to talk to Phil. So
yeah, and I wanted to add that some of what Delmas Colvin says is really shocking. We weren't going to ask him about his crimes. That wasn't part of what we were going to do. We were more interested in hearing about his early life, but he told us anyway. So
he sure did.
Yeah. If you think that this might be triggering for you, maybe skip the part with Colvin, which happens about 30 minutes in, but definitely do listen to the part with Phil because it's really interesting.
Definitely. Definitely. So without further ado, on with the show.
Hey.
Hey, Phil.
How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I think I'm talking to Wendy and Beth.
That's right. That's right.
That's correct.
I'm married to Wendy, but she's Wendy with an I.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very nice. Well, then, you know what? Then I'm certain that this is going to go great. So,
are you guys in California?
No, we're in Phoenix.
Oh, you're in Phoenix. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, right now we're on the same time as California.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you are? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We got Delmas Colvin. Delmas is going to call in the next 20 or 30 minutes, and what he does, I'll put him on speaker, and I'll allow you guys to ask him whatever you want to ask him, and he will answer.
awesome.
Okay, cool.
So we were blown away that somebody like you wanted to talk to us, but we are so honored and just happy to be talking to you and grateful that you reached out. So I am really just fascinated by your sort of quest to get into the psychology of all these serial killers. So if you don't mind, we'd like to ask you a few questions. You can shoot us questions. We thought this would be more of a conversation, but we do have some questions for you. So how does that
sound? Absolutely.
Okay. So I guess tell us a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so I grew up in the inner city of Cleveland, Ohio, not too far from Anthony Sowell's home.
Right, okay.
And I grew up in poverty, abusive, alcoholic father. I have the same kind of upbringing as a lot of these serial killers, quite frankly. So 10 years of my life I spent in East Cleveland, in the hood, in poverty, getting robbed, getting robbed on the way to school, all that stuff.
Did you grow up around a lot of black and brown people in the impoverished area that you were? Okay.
Yes, I was definitely in a black neighborhood. I went to a Catholic school, so I did interact with a lot of black students, but my parents were very racist, and I grew up in a racist home. So, we moved to the suburbs at 10 mm-hmm. years old, and then I started to see a whole other part of life, and I grew and I realized that my family was kind of crazy and that, that all people committed crimes, not just black males or whatever. And mm-hmm. so that was kind of my upbringing. And then as I started getting into crime, I started out interviewing mostly teen killers and school shooters.
Okay.
And so I wrote a book called Inside the Mind of a Teen Killer. I did the show Killer Kids, and I did a lot of stuff about teen killers, school shooters, and I kind of ran the gamut on that. And then I decided I want to turn my attention to serial murder. So when I started researching serial murder, I started hitting like the myths, like, and I could talk about with you all the myths, like people
yeah.
think serial killers are this and they're really not.
Right.
I realized that there were more black serial killers than I knew,
mm-hmm.
mostly black males. So because I'm passionate about my brothers and sisters who are black, and I'm passionate about those victims.
Amen.
I thought somebody needs to talk about this because there's lots of black children and black females being murdered every year. Nobody gives a shit. So
right.
I started focusing on that, and wow, have I uncovered a fucking a treasure trove of information.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. The thing with us, I think we're in the same boat. We often get asked when we tell people like what our show's about, like, are you sure there's enough content out there for you guys to do a whole ass podcast? Like, yeah, bro,
oh, yeah,
we
the
got...
The first question, are there any black serial killers? Like, they have no idea there's even one.
I know. Mm-hmm. Well, that's really,
I saw your, I saw your podcast, and I was like, wow, these guys are right up my alley. So anyways, I'm glad I stumbled upon you guys, and you're very entertaining and doing a hell of a job. So that's why I'm here.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Same. So I guess, how did you even gain access to first the child school shooters and then the serial killers? Like, what was your way in? Do you know somebody who knows somebody?
Yeah.
Do you have a cousin?
No.
Have you been in the joint before?
No, so what happens is you, let's just, think of any killer. Let me give you an example. I just watched a movie Friday night, just came out Friday night, called The Murder of Nicole Brown Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really good. It was really weird, but it was really good. So there's a theory. I don't believe the theory is right, but there's a theory that possibly a traveling serial killer called the Casanova Killer killed Nicole Brown Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm pretty sure OJ did it, but I thought, I'm going to reach out to Glenn Rogers. I mean, this literally happened today.
Okay.
So I just look up on JPay. There's an email system. I send Glenn Rogers an email. Bang, he's back. So now I'm communicating with the Casanova Killer,
mm-hmm.
who allegedly killed Nicole Brown Simpson, but I don't think he did.
Okay.
But anyways, you just find out who you want to talk to, and you could send them a letter. You just have to have their name and prison number. It's very easy to find them. And ladies, I'm talking to so many killers right now. I have just a shitload of mail, and I'm corresponding with hundreds of killers, and file cabinets full of letters and mm-hmm. artwork and crazy stuff all over my office, and it's actually, I love doing it. So
how do you keep track of them all?
You have to have a folder and a file cabinet, and every time they send a letter, I put it in a file. I have pretty good memory, so I kind of know who's who, and the thing I'm doing now is I'm writing a book on the black male serial killer. That'll come out later, 2020. There's 1,000 black serial killers in that book, and
mm-hmm.
it's growing every day. And then we're pitching a podcast, which is So I'm intrigued with you guys. We're pitching a podcast where I interview a serial killer every week.
Oh, my God.
And then we're pitching a show to Netflix and A&E where I help, you know, I interview serial killers and help close cold cases. A lot of the serial killers will confess unsolved murders to me. Like, Delmas Colvin today is going to talk about dozens of unsolved murders to you guys, and you're going to be like, damn.
Yeah.
So that's what they do.
Oh, man. So, what's the name of your book? Do you already have a title for it so we can be on the lookout?
It's called The Black Male Serial Killer, America's New Crime Wave. The reason I want to talk about this, and I'm so passionate about it, and I probably have the same spirit as you guys, is that the media censors this shit.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's America's worst nightmare, for one thing, to tell the truth about it. That's why we don't have a black bachelor.
Well,
listen, one black dude banging all these white chicks? No way! No,
I'm with you.
Oh, Wendy.
I'm going to say to you, Wendy, my book will never see the light of day as far as a publisher. They'll never touch that fucking book. I have to publish that myself because
oh, man.
They are so worried that they might appear racist when they really are racist, but they don't want to appear racist.
Right.
But they'll never publish that book. And I'm doing this because, listen, man, there are black serial killers killing black females and children right now.
Right
now in Chicago and Houston and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows about it.
Right.
Right.
People can't protect themselves.
Right. I mean, and that's one of the reasons why everybody loves true crime, right? It's so we can all know how we can be safer and avoid these people and avoid developing these people. But if we don't talk about it, the problem perpetuates itself. So I guess, like, where did you get your interview chops? How do you talk to these people without coming off as, like, a jerk or some bloodthirsty, unqualified gossip rag writer? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, there's two people that these killers hate, and it's the media and cops, right? So you have to – I train a lot of cops. I'm a homicide trainer. That's how I make my living. So I travel the country and do these live shows. I'd love to see you guys. I'll be in Phoenix this year. But
hello.
But I do these live presentations.
Yeah, hit us
up. I do work in the media, right? Like, I do TV shows and stuff. But I kind of – I downplay both of those, and I just say I'm here. I'm a crime prevention guy. I'm here to stop crime and, you know, I want to tell your story. Mm-hmm. I have a letter that I've concocted that I've been using for 30 years, and it seems to work. I mean, the Casanova killer responded to me immediately today. So when I want to reach someone, they're pretty good at responding. Then I have to decide if I want to work with them, right? So if they say they're claiming to be innocent, I don't work with them. Like, I don't deal with that.
Really?
Yeah.
So a Wayne Williams you would have no interest in talking to.
No, Wayne Williams, I'm not, and he won't respond to me because he thinks he's innocent. I mean, he is convicted already of two murders, but that's a whole other case we could talk about. But anyway, if I think they're interesting and they're going to be honest with me, then I email them, I write them, I call them, I go visit them, and every serial killer is the same. I say, okay, here's what I really want. Tell me about one unsolved murder that nobody knows about. They all have them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I go, and I try to help. We're about ready to solve a huge murder, a four-prostitute murder out in Atlantic City. It was big news. Four prostitutes were killed in Atlantic City, and I have a serial killer sitting in a prison somewhere that's going to confess to that, so we're about to solve that.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to just check you a little bit on the word prostitute. We find it to be a like a dirty sort of derogatory term, so we don't use it ourselves. But I'm wondering how you feel about the word prostitute. We prefer to say sex worker only because we believe that sometimes people are engaged in sex work, not of their own free will. There are some men and women who are involved in sex work and who take pride in it. And so I think the word prostitute kind of takes away any agency that might exist within that profession, denies the fact that it is a real profession, and sort of puts the blame all on the person who is engaged in it and ignores that. This is work. It's an industry. There's Johns and there's the workers. So that's why we prefer to use it. But I'm cool if you want to keep using it. I just want to let people know we don't use it. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, that's okay. That's the term that they use in law enforcement. That's what I use.
Okay. Do you have any training in law enforcement yourself? Like, were you ever a cop or in the military or anything like that? Okay.
Neither. Neither. Yeah. I work closely with law enforcement. I train them. I train the FBI, the Secret Service, and I train Homeland Security.
Okay.
But I've never been a on the road street cop. Never done that before.
Oh,
I'm sworn
okay.
in. I have a badge, but I'm just a police trainer.
Do you carry a gun?
Now, how did you?
I do. Yes.
I was going to ask, how did you get into that training, law enforcement?
Well, forever, when I was doing the research on the juvenile killers, I was speaking to, I would do school assemblies, right? So, like, mm-hmm. I thought, my contribution is I'm going to go and speak at the schools and try to stop these kids from becoming killers.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for a long time, 25 years or so. When my Inside the Mind of a Teen Killer book dropped in 2009, I realized I can't speak to these kids about teen murder anymore. I spoke to them about destructive decisions, but if I'm going to speak about teen murder, I'm going to turn my attention to adults. So the only adults I thought would really benefit is cops and teachers. So I started training, you know, school staff and law enforcement. And the law enforcement thing has taken off. It's very big for me. I'm like one of the top police trainers in the country, and it's fun. I mean, they're a good place to start with. I want to get deeper into the community, but you know, police officers need to know this information because they're trying to solve these crimes.
Mm-hmm. So one of your things is there are a lot of myths that people just don't know about serial killers, including the fact that many of them are not straight white dudes. So talk to us about the myths that you've uncovered, things that people believe to be true that you know are not.
Okay, so obviously myth number one, serial killers are all crazy white guys. In the last 20 years, last two decades, the numbers are this, and this is a study done by a college in Virginia. 60% of serial killers are black, 31% are white, 8% Hispanic, and 1% Asian. So majority of the serial killers in the last two decades are black, and mostly males. That's a big myth, and people just don't believe that. They don't want to believe that. They say, I can't believe it. But then when you start looking at who the killers are, people like Carl Watts and Sam Little and Lonnie Franklin,
mm-hmm.
I mean, their numbers blow away Ted Bundy.
Right,
they blow
right.
away Jeffrey Dahmer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's so
yeah.
many. I know you guys talk about a lot of the great cases. I look at some of your podcasts, and you're doing the Taco Bell Strangler. You're doing Maury Travis. These are the guys that nobody knows about, but holy shit, they got a big murder count. And people,
they do.
You know, I'm like, name a black serial killer. First of all, the class goes quiet. And then they say, here's the two guesses. That guy from Atlanta. They don't know his name. Then they're like, those
guys are
snipers. Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, you don't fucking know his name, right? Because the media has not talked about this. They don't, you know. But that after Wayne Williams and the D.C. snipers, Malvo and Muhammad, they have nothing else to guess. But
they're at a blank, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's starting to know Sam Little because they've been talking a lot about Sam Little lately.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Serial killers kill within their own race. There was a myth, like when you were working a case and you were a cop, if you had white victims, you were looking for a white serial killer. If you had black victims, it was pretty obvious you were looking for a black serial killer.
Uh-huh.
That would be the case of the Atlanta child killer. But today it's changed. White serial killers pretty much almost only kill white people,
mm-hmm.
where black serial killers will kill outside of their race.
Right.
So if you have black victims, you have a black serial killer. Why? Because mm-hmm. white serial killers don't kill black victims. It's very mm-hmm. rare. But when you have white victims, it could be anybody. And that's where the police make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
They're hunting for white guys. Wow.
Right.
You know, Carl Watts and Wayne Williams and all these guys are still killing right under the radar because people aren't looking for them.
Right. Right. That's true.
They're looking for white guys.
Right.
Here's another myth. A myth, we think serial killers like to strangle and stab people. Well, the number one way of murdering by serial killers today is shooting. So we have mm-hmm. a lot of shooting serial killers, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yes, 42% of serial killers shoot somebody, 22% for strangulation, and 15% are in stabbing, 9% bludgeoning. So stabbing is the number one way.
Oh.
What's
the stat on stabbing again?
Yeah. 15% stabbing and 9% bludgeoning.
Okay.
Bludgeoning.
Another myth is all serial killers are men. Mm-hmm. Well, there's been over 300 female serial killers, so there's been quite a few of those.
I guess what's the race makeup of the female serial killers? We've covered a few female ones, but usually they've been accompanied by a male or they're not American. So I'm wondering what your take on female serial killers of color.
I am not I'm not a big expert on female serial killers, but there has been quite a few of black female serial killers, but I don't know the numbers and what the percentages are. Like Eileen Wuornos is the only one people ever know.
I know.
Because the media loved her and they made a movie about her.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
They don't know there was a tandem from Ohio, Deborah somebody, that was killing people, and I don't remember their names, but there was a black male.
Deborah Brown and Alton Coleman.
Right.
That's him, yeah. Deborah Brown, yeah. She's out there. Nobody knows who she is. I can't remember her name.
Well, Fruit Loops covered her. And then there was another woman who was killing. She was posing as a nurse. She was a black female. And I can't remember her name, but maybe super.
Kimberly McCarthy.
Yeah.
Kimberly McCarthy? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was killing older white ladies, again, posing as like a home health aide or something like that.
Yeah.
Who else? Are there any other myths that you think need to be dispelled?
Here's another big myth. This is a big myth for you guys. It's very important for you.
Ooh.
There's a myth that says since serial killers are black, they're killing females. And every time you watch a movie, it's a serial killer chasing a female.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, in the course of history, 51% of victims are female and 49% are male. So there's a very close 50-50 ratio. I always tell the guys, you can be killed by a serial killer. John Wayne Gacy and Jeffrey Dahmer don't kill females.
Right.
I like to talk about this too. A lot of people say, well, you know, serial killers happen in Los Angeles and New York City, but they happen all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
The six states that you're most likely to be killed by a serial killer, California, Texas, Florida, Illinois, New York, and Ohio. Now, some of those states have really big cities, like L.A. and New York City, you know, and Houston or whatever. But, man, Florida is a hotbed of serial killers, number three.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago, number four. Illinois, number four, with Chicago. Chicago has serial killers all the time. Florida has serial killers all the time. There's 50 serial killers at any given time in this country right now, moving around. So they're here.
To this day.
Yeah.
Right now.
So what's the formula? I mean, is it in the water? Is it, I mean, we have our theories of why we think, what we think drives people to commit more than one murder. You are the expert. So what's the formula?
You know, here's the thing about, I'll tell both of you guys, about serial killers. It's, you can't just say they do this, this, and this, because they're all different. And if you kind of get into a box where you say they all kill animals, well, then you're going to find out Delmas Colvin loves animals. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can't put these guys in a box and say they're all rapists. That's not true.
Right.
They all kill for sex. And, you know, so a lot of these guys don't kill for sex. They don't mm-hmm. have sex with their victims.
Yeah.
Delmas Colvin doesn't have sex with his victims. He's just angry.
Mm-hmm.
So they're angry. They're into sex. They're drug addicts. They're you know, there's racism that has fueled them.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot of things that go into it.
Right.
The bottom line, why killers kill,
mm-hmm.
is manipulation, domination, and control. It's all about manipulating, dominating, control. That, if I would just sum up everybody that I've talked to, that's what they say. Why just, you will ask Delmas here in a minute, why'd you strangle her? I loved it. It felt good, and I had control over her. You know what I mean? Did you have sex with her? No.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Okay.
But, you know, when you ask a lot about female serial killers, I know a lot about male serial killers, and I'm talking to hundreds of black male serial killers right now, and you know, I've been really, really researching them, and a lot of them are unknown. It's amazing that people don't know who they are.
It is amazing.
Some of them are the deadly killers out there, really.
Well,
really crazy.
Right. We are aware of that, and our listeners are certainly aware of that. What have you found in interviewing all of these black serial killers? You said 1,000? So what are you finding about them? Is there any difference between, obviously, the skin color is different for a black male serial killer than a white male serial killer. There's a joke I've heard that people think that there are no black serial killers because if a black dude kills somebody, they get caught within the first 2 minutes. And a white guy is unassuming, unsuspecting, so they can just da-da-da-da go about their serial killer ways. So yeah. I'm just wondering, what are you finding that is different? Is there anything different about the makeup of a black serial killer than a white one, be it physically, emotionally, background, I'm sure, is a big part of it. But what are you finding that we need to know?
Okay. Well, first of all, any serial killer, with whatever race they are, they're all hard to catch because they're killing people that are not connected to them, right? So it is very hard to catch a serial killer, and that's why they get away with so many murders. When you're picking up a woman in Chicago, you kill her in your semi-truck, and you dump her body in Nebraska and her clothes in Idaho, people aren't going to solve that case. They're just not going to solve that case. You've got to get lucky with them. So that whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Latin, it doesn't matter. It's very tough to solve these murders, and that's why there's 80,000 unsolved murders and 10,000 unidentified bodies right now, because it's very hard to solve. When it comes to the black serial killers, I have a pretty good relationship with a lot of them, by the way. I mean, I'm pretty friendly with them, and Delmas Coleman probably loves me more than my own father, and that's probably the truth. But
that's
true. My first interview ever was with the son of Sam, David Berkowitz, and he just sent me an email this morning. I think he loves me more than my father, which is weird that a serial killer cares about you more than your dad.
Very interesting.
They are, a lot of them are more from the urban area. Like, so they're more urban. They come from more of the broken home, urban poverty, which led to drugs and robberies and, you know, crime. They kind of come more from that aspect. Where you got some of the white, their white counterparts may not come from that area. They may be more of the rural or the suburban. They might have it's just not as urban. So they're more urban. I think that's just the big noticeable difference. They a lot of the black serial killers do like sex with their victims. A lot of them like sex with their victims after they're dead. We see a lot of that. I'm going to break all this in my new book.
Okay.
But they do the same crazy things as John Wayne Gacy, Charles Manson, Ted Bundy, and Jeffrey Dahmer. They do all the same things. They have all the same crazy behaviors with their counterparts. You know, we have the Kansas City vampire that eats men and drinks their blood in Kansas. We have Maury Travis chaining people to a pole in a basement and filming their murders.
We
have it all. We have the corpse collector Harrison Graham in Philly keeping bodies in an apartment closet. Anthony Sowell keeping decapitated. Anthony Sowell's keeping decapitated corpses, nude corpses in his home. They do the same as their counterparts, but they're just not known.
They're just not known. I wanted to. So obviously, you mentioned that white killers are more likely to come from suburban areas, black ones from urban ones. Do any of them get into a lot of these crimes took place that we've covered recently during the crack epidemic, in which there was this intense war on drugs, which was primarily a war on communities of color. It decimated the adults in the room, took grown men away from their families for extended period of time, and then you end up with these sort of young black and brown kids who just need to survive, either by joining gangs, entering a life of crime, to survive. I try to make that clear. Because I don't think people commit crimes because they're so fun. It's a means to survive. Robbing, and then I think those things just escalate with substance abuse and those kinds of things. So I wonder if you are finding that as a recurring theme. What I'm getting at is there is more of a social safety net for the white guys in the suburban areas who may not have been victims of families being broken up or fighting to survive in a war on drugs, and there is absolutely no safety net for the black and brown kids who end up being like the Delmas Colvins or the Anthony Sowells and that kind of thing. So I'm wondering your take on that.
Well, my take on this is, first of all, I despise racism, and I do my best to not separate anybody. I think we're all the same. And white kids experience the same shit in the hood as black and brown kids. I mean, so they all experience that, which is really bad. I mean, there's white kids in the hood that got their fathers taken away too.
Right.
I mean, the number one connector of all killers. Now I have the opportunity to back up and look at, and I interview teen killers, school shooters, mass murderers, and serial killers. I interview all four. the big connection is no father. The father is missing. And once you take the father away, that's a big connector of killers. Mm-hmm. Most killers don't have a daddy. And whether their dad is missing or is abusive in his home, they might have a father or no father, but they don't have a daddy. And that's the problem. That's the biggest cause.
Sure.
Biggest cause of serial murder, I believe. Yeah.
Or they don't get the love from a father.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. And a lot of them have moms and grandmas. And I applaud the moms who are doing their damn best, you know, to do their best as a single mom. But
right.
You know, there's a lot of studies on missing the male figure in the home is a big deal. But the serial killers, you have another element. They have an abusive mother, too. So it really pushes them towards this.
What are your thoughts on mental illness and serial killers? Are they all just mentally ill, or are a big percentage of them are the ones that you've talked to who are behind bars getting mental health treatment? And do you think that they can be useful, you know, whether they get out or not, but useful to helping us sort of solve the problem of senseless murdering?
Yeah. Well, if you use the McNaughton rule, where if the mental illnesses, they don't know what they're doing. Most of them are not mentally ill. I mean, do they have personality disorders? Absolutely. Are they are they completely off crazy? No. Mm-hmm. To kill multiple people and get away with it, you can't really be that crazy. You kind of got to do, you know, certain things to get away with murder. About 5 to 10% of serial killers and teen killers and school shooters are mentally ill. So most of them are not. I find that they're very normal when I talk to them on the phone. Mm-hmm. Now that you ask me this question, you know what I notice a lot about the black male serial killers is.
Yeah, tell me.
A lot of them are, they just don't have a very good education. They're not as educated. And you could just tell in their writings and stuff, you know. You could just tell they didn't have a good chance at life. They just had a lot of cards stacked against them. And that makes me really sad and upset.
Sure.
But a lot of them just didn't have the opportunities, you know what I mean? And I talked about that. I posted something about this on my social media that, you know, a lot of people blame guns for a lot of things, but I say, you know, most of the murders happen in the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
Blaming it on guns, I mean, that's the easy way politicians do, but really it's a lot bigger problem than guns. It's poverty, it's joblessness, it's terrible schools, it's breakdown of family. I mean, we can go into it so deep in the inner cities.
Right.
And that's what these guys have grown up with. They haven't had the opportunities as a lot of people have. And I don't care if you're white, brown, black. I mean, everybody. Anybody who lives. I grew up in the hood. I grew up in a shitty home. So,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I lived in just a shitty home as anybody else. I made it, but some people don't.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the one thing I wanted
not
to
not everybody.
Oh, go ahead, Beth.
Oh, I was just going to say we're all different in what we can do with our lives. Like some people, they may not have the organizational skills or you know, the intelligence or whatever to figure a way out that situation.
I did want to mention, we mention this on our show quite often, because when we talk about black serial killers versus white ones, we talk about, you know, white privilege and what that really means. And a lot of people think it means, oh, that that if you have white privilege, that it means that you were without struggle or hard times. And what it really means is that the rules are different. So you being a white kid in the hood, and you and a black friend get popped for something, like, you know, caught up in the law.
Right.
The rules are a little bit different for you, for the two of you. You may not come out of it the same. And that's what that's what we mean. It has nothing to do with how much money you had, how much alcohol your dad drank, how much times you were molested by an uncle, all those things. We can all have those things, but the rules and outcomes are wildly different for all of us. Again, the BTK killer? Is he still alive? Okay, and he killed, I don't know how many people, but when we look at death sentences, death sentences across racial lines are different, and I just want to point that out. I acknowledge that it sounds like you had a really, really rough childhood, and I appreciate you acknowledging all those things, but I just want to be clear for the purposes of this recording and conversation that when we're talking about privilege, it has nothing to do with how much money you had in the bank or if your life was easy or not. Another thing I wanted to ask you about was, so you've talked to a ton of serial killers, and I love, like, hearing about the worst of the worst. So I'm going to grab my pencil before I ask you this question. what is a case that keeps you up at night? Like a killer that you've talked to and you are just horrified by their being, what they did, just all the things that you just can't understand how somebody like that can look themselves in the mirror, or you know what I mean? Tell me about a case like that.
Well, nothing keeps me up at night. I sleep well. This is my mission and passion. You know, I just want you know, like, this is what I do. It doesn't affect me. Mm-hmm. I'm driven to save as many kids as I can. That's what I do. But people ask me, who are the craziest people you talk to? Well, mm-hmm. I'm getting ready. I talk a lot right now to a guy. First of all, you guys have, when I come to town, I do an 8-hour class, and it's a lot of crime scene, and it's really how to profile different types of killers. And I actually have killers calling in live during my training, and people get to interview them. The audience gets to interview them live. So this guy I'm about to talk about, he actually calls in live right now. His name's Lorenzo Fain. You can Google him right now, Lorenzo Fain, F-A-Y-N-E. He is an Illinois child killer.
Okay.
And he loves to kill children and have sex with their corpses.
Ooh,
and he's pretty open talking about it. He's pretty pretty graphic and pretty scary. I got jealous.
Do you think he gets a kick out of telling people and, like, freaking people out?
No. These guys
Is Delmas calling?
It takes a while. So Delmas get a call. Hold that thought. I want to tell you about the werewolf butcher next, okay? Werewolf butcher.
Okay, got it.
Call, press 0. To refuse this call.
So this is Delmas Colvin. He doesn't like the name Delmas. He calls himself Heavy.
Monitoring and recording.
Heavy. Okay.
Thank you.
Delmas.
Greetings.
How are you?
Great. Just got out the cage.
You did. I'm on the phone with Wendy. Introduce yourself, ladies.
Hey, we're Wendy and Beth from the Fruit Loops podcast about serial killers and people of color.
Yeah,
Wendy
hi.
Wendy and Beth. They talk a lot about serial killers of color. Say hello to them.
Hello, Wendy and Beth.
Hello. We are. Hello.
They're from Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So what questions do you like to ask? He'll answer any questions you want to ask.
Okay, so I'm going to just dive in. We are so grateful that you took the time to chat with us. We covered an...
No, you're not.
Yes, we are. No. It's the truth. It's the truth.
I heard all the bad things you've been saying about...
You know what? And I went back to that episode and listened to it. Season 2, episode 15. And I am so sorry. I called you not nice things. So I would.
You got to apologize. I'm not looking for no apologies.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
This call is
everything. Wendy and Beth, just start asking him questions.
Okay. So
in 2001, I had a chance to move to Phoenix and turned down a job opportunity for Palmer Trucking. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
After living in your fair city for over a month. Lovely. It's lovely down there.
It is.
Okay.
So tell us where you were born. Where were you from? What was your childhood like? We don't know anything about where you were born, what your family was like. We want to know all those things. Did you have a happy childhood?
You ain't writing no book, are you?
No. Where are you?
Oh, no.
I'm not trying to write any books.
Okay.
No.
All right, then. Because that's Phil's job.
Yeah.
I have to wait for Phil.
No. I don't want to take out of Phil's pocket. No, sir.
All right, tell them about your tell about your upbringing, Dumbs.
Okay, I was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. My mother named Mary, my daddy named I'm the oldest of them three. It's me, my brother, me, my sister Sue, my little brother Sutry. My father left the state of Alabama, when I was around about 5, because you know, he wanted a better life. He wanted to come north. So he went from Alabama to Barberton, Ohio, a little slumberg outside of Akron. But my mother didn't like him. So she ended up back in Alabama. We moved back to Alabama, and my father come to find out years later, said he will take us to buy shoes, and he expelled us and moved back to Ohio.
Whoa.
And I've been separated from my mother ever since.
Tell him what happened next. You had a... He remarried. Tell him about that.
Yeah, he remarried. He married a woman named Linda, and they had eight more kids by her. Some was his, some
was wow.
But she treated us different. I never liked her. I couldn't stand her. First time I thought about killing her, I was around 14. I just had posing a fat ass body. It would look a funny as a black guy driving down the street with a farm all tractor with a trailer with a body in the back. I'm quite sure they would have caught me, but I could just tell my dad she ran off to join the circus. He probably would have believed me, you know.
So were you and your dad close?
Were you and your dad close?
Yes, we were. I found those. Honey fishing gave me a great work ethic, but that was it. He always worked. You know what I mean? There was never no love. I don't even think he ever told me what time he actually loved, but I knew what he showed. But he gave me work, a great work ethic. That, and I was able to turn that into being able to make a great living for myself.
So Delmas, in their podcast, they said you probably had a messed up childhood. Your childhood wasn't too messed up, was it?
How many kids, you know, at 13, 14, went flying in a single engine plane? I worked on a farm called Best on the Farm. Love that job. Made $1 an hour, but the stuff I learned on that farm, the pilot, the farmer's son, his name is Donald Bessemer, he used to take us flying. We used to fly from Akron to Putin Bay just to have lunch. We was 13, 14 years old, and back then it only cost us $7 an hour. And when on the Cessna, that's four people that comes up to $7 an hour. Yeah, from there, had a grade. I hunted, I fished. I can count the times in one hand from grade school to junior high to high school that I got in fight. Because I want to say my father in eighth grade. I hated it, but I loved working on that farm and the stuff I learned. When I was 16 years old, I can drive a dump truck. I mean, 16-year-old kids, you see driving a dump truck on the city highway. The training I got, it's far enough. I didn't know nothing about no women, but.
What else you want to know, Wendy and Beth?
So you said your stepmother treated you different. What do you mean? How'd she treat you different? Just because you weren't her kid?
Me and my sister.
Okay.
Me and my sister and my brother treated us different from her kids. You know what I mean? She wouldn't want to whoop my little brother. I didn't allow that. No.
Oh.
Yeah, no. No. Okay. My father never whooped. Never. He gave you a lecture. It might last for 3 years, but goddamn.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what they say, spare the rod, spoil the child. So,
I was spoiled. Everything I got, I worked for. You can believe we wasn't spoiled. Let me catch you thought. There was 11 of us in one house. 11. It was so many. We used to take two different cars to church when I was old enough to drive.
You went to church.
This call is originating from an Ohio
church. He went to church.
Did you sing in the choir or anything at church? Were you an usher?
Were you involved in the church heavy?
Not really. I had to go because my aunt raised me and she made me. I want to see you in church. Yes, ma'am. I had to wish you should be in church.
Wendy and Beth, here's an interesting, remember we try to profile serial killers. Delmas has a pretty good upbringing. He grows up in a white community. And by all intents and purposes, except for the fact that he hated his stepmother, pretty normal life growing up.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was better than most kids.
Yeah.
People understand. Y'all been watching too many of that profiling. Oh, he tortured animals. I didn't do none of that. As a teen, I shot rabbits and said, hell, we ate those.
So tell us what else the media and we got wrong. Tell us what else we've made error in reporting. Because we want to get it right. We want to set the record straight. So what does the media get wrong about you?
He hasn't heard the whole podcast. I just played him a couple of clips.
I haven't heard none of it. I'm just going by what Phil said. But mostly, first of all, you are not a black woman. I can hear it in your voice.
Who is that? Oh, no, sir. I'm the blackiest of black. From head to toe. Very dark chocolate. Yes, sir.
I'm white.
Now Beth is white. Wendy is black as hell. I have
Wendy's
dreadlocks.
Black and white.
Yeah. So I have a wide ass nose and a big old butt.
You see, I have been around. I was
born
at night. Not last night, okay?
No. Delmas, these guys think I'm white. Tell them I'm black. They think I'm white.
Oh my God, you're black.
Now I've seen his picture.
Yeah, I got 22s on my car. Tell him, bum.
Get out of here.
That's Cleveland. So you can have some trouble.
So Delmas, what I want you to tell these ladies tell these ladies you're sleeping in your truck. He's a long-haul trucker making lots of money.
Yeah.
You're sleeping in your truck in Illinois. Tell them the story. Tell them how it goes down from the beginning to dumping the body. How does it go?
I'm sleeping in Arkansas. I'm tired. I came home from Grand Rapids Station. I'm tired to tell, so, you know, there's etiquette when you work on it. It's called cracking, too. I mean, like, come on, the worst of I turn off all my lights. If you turn off all your lights, that means you're not looking. So as soon as I lay down, I'm going to sleep. There's a knock on my door. No, I'm serious. I open the door, roll down the window, I cuss out. Be as rude as all possible. Get out of here. So I go back to see this thing, come like 20 minutes later, wakes me up again. I'm in full rage mode. I said, wait a minute. I put my boots on, I show it to my shirt, and I get out on the passenger side of the truck. As soon as I get out, it's ringing her neck instantly. I drag it to the rear of the truck. Trailer 53 foot long, all the time I'm ringing her neck. And when I get to the rear of the truck, I finish the job. I stick her in over one side of the trailer, sticking her head first, strip her down, asshole naked. She ended up in Idaho, and the body ended up in Nebraska, clothing up in Idaho.
Wow.
So how do you dispose of the body? So a lot of times there's a corpse in the back of your sleeper. You're driving a truck all day, and there's a corpse in the back of your sleeper. How do you eventually you wait till it gets dark outside, and how do you dispose of the body?
First of all, you put it in a fetal position after mutilation. Then that way when it gets stiff, it sits over your shoulders, then you walk into the woods. Well, I would have at least 50 to 100 feet.
So Wendy and Beth, he's killed the prostitute in Arkansas. He's dumped her body in Nebraska in the woods off the freeway. They'll never find it. And her clothes are in a dumpster in Idaho. You're not going to solve that case.
Yeah.
No. So
this call is originating from an Ohio
you said you were.
And maybe recorded
one second. Go ahead. Go ahead, Wendy. Go ahead, Beth.
That case will never get solved.
Never get solved. So
You're convicted of seven murders, Delmas. Tell them how many you think you've really killed.
No, I was convicted of two. I gave them seven. That's in the Toledo area. Remember?
How many have you killed total?
Close between, I'd say between 27 and 52. I never counted. I ain't a trophy. I started when I was 24, one or two every year. But one year I did three.
You killed for 24 years.
Three.
Go ahead, guys.
So it started.
Go ahead, ladies.
I guess the whole act would start with you being angry, and then can you walk us through the emotions you felt from the beginning to the end of the act, and then as you're disposing of the body, how does that feel?
Yeah. So you're sitting in the truck. They pissed you off. What do you do? Have you walk us through your emotions?
I was talking about the one by in Indianapolis. About just they got two trucks up there. They got a Flying J and small one. I go to the small Flying J, and the owner now keeps it in mind. The only reason I go there because they got a Wendy's in there. That's the only reason I'm there. The only reason. So I pull in, and some of my guys asked to use my CV. So I say, yeah, go ahead, baby. So I'm catching up on my paperwork. And she said, can I use your cell phone? I tell her, no. And she said, well, you ain't gonna be a bitch about it. That was in her. I was into that.
Mm.
No, he ain't gonna talk crazy.
So Wendy and Beth, what Mr. Colvin says is he didn't go hunting for victims. They chose him.
Okay.
That's what a lot of guys say that.
Killing somebody, are you angry the whole time, or is there a sense of euphoria, or like, is it orgasmic?
No, I'm full with joy.
Ah.
I'm a fiberglass. Of course I am.
Explain it.
It just pissed me off, okay?
You start strangling her, right? And how long does it take to strangle a female?
It takes a while. It's personal, and it's actually fun. I mean, they'll fight for around about not long.
Tell them the one time when you were strangling a female.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
And someone called you during your strangulation. Tell them about that story.
Oh, yeah. I was doing my mother called.
Oh, my
mother
goodness.
My mother called and I had to pick up the cell phone. Yeah, so I just used the one hand.
To strangle.
She said, where were you at? I said, well, Mom, I got hung up and touched the button. I'm going to be there. She was calling to let me know that there was one in Mississippi and the key would be behind the barn. up on the hook. You know?
Okay.
And you're in the process of strangling a person at that time.
I was just finishing off. You know, I did it with two, and when the phone rang, I took my forearm and laid across the land of throat and kicked them top into my mouth.
And then what you would do is you would tell them about the plastic bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
You take the plastic bag, cut those, put it over here, you duct tape it, gone. Because you can't have them waking up when you're going down the highway. You know what I mean?
That's right. Right.
Good thing. Yeah.
No.
One girl knew she fucked up. She said, oh, God, I said, he can't help you.
Oh.
I remember her vividly.
Wow. Did you ever have any conversations with anybody, like get to know any of them or ask them any questions about themselves?
Hold on one minute. So, what's up, Delmas?
There's 1 minute left. When we call you back?
Can you call me back?
Yeah, I can call you right back.
You ladies, you want him to call back?
Sure.
It's 15 minutes is all he gets. You want him to call back?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, call back.
I'm gonna call right back.
Call back. I'm going to try to slow him down and let you ask as many questions as you want. Just rapid fire him, okay?
Okay.
Ask him if he's still sorry or he's remorseful. Ask him that. Ask him what would happen if you let him out today. He'll answer that.
Okay. That is on our list.
He never really had sex with any of the victims. They just pissed him off and he killed them. His victim race is almost all white females.
Mm-hmm.
He killed one black female and two white males. You guys have probably looked at who he's convicted of killing, and you probably just saw females. But he's killed two white guys, all white females, and a black female. And that's what I just told you about the victim, you know, choice of black serial killers. They kill mostly outside of their race, which is definitely unique.
Right. And law enforcement is pretty smart to this, right? They're
No, not until I do the training. No, they're not smart to this. No.
They're getting smart to this after the training.
They're learning. Okay.
What do you think of Delmas Colvin so far?
I think he's really funny. He reminds me of an uncle I have.
I tell people, he would be the guy you'd have a beer with, and he's a funny guy. You could probably, if you met him at a bar, you'd say that guy was a big old teddy bear, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a serial killer, okay?
Really,
here
yeah.
He's
okay.
Back.
Hello. This is a prepaid debit call from...
I'm gonna coach him a little bit now and just have him just slow down and answer your questions. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
Zero.
You don't have to take 15 minutes with him if you don't want. Okay. Hey, Heavy. Hey, I'm gonna let these ladies ask you a lot of questions, and I want you just to answer as quickly as you can. Okay.
Gotcha.
Let's go. Go ahead, ladies.
If you had not been caught, where would you be today? What would you have continued? Would you have continued killing?
Right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where would you be today?
I'll be in the back of my truck watching the game, having a few beers, eating some great food, and probably have another one or two underneath my belt by then. But it's hard to say, you know. But you can believe, most likely I'll still be hunting, you know.
You'll still be killing people.
Hey, have you ever been in love?
Have you ever been in love?
Have I ever been where?
Have you ever been in love?
Of course. Who has
been? I don't know.
Yes, I have.
Have you ever had... Have you ever had a fiance?
Yes. At the time of my arrest, she knew nothing about it. My fiance.
Wow.
My fiance was sick once. I had the flu. That's right. Somebody in the back.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility.
I want you to hear this story, ladies. This is a good one. I'm going to stop him. Hey, hold on. You got interrupted. Say that again. Say that again, Delmas.
My fiance had the flu, and some lodgers came to my house complaining about she worked for me. My house, she didn't get everything she had coming, so I tell her, come around back. I sprang in the back of my backyard, come up with the kiddie pool, and went right back to bed. And that morning, I...
You strangled the prostitute in the backyard and put her under a kiddie pool and went right back to sleep with his fiance. He got up in the morning
and
dumped her.
Wow. But I guess I'm wondering what a romantic relationship looks like, because you were on the road a lot. So did you have a lot of sex with other women? I mean, how did you keep the pipes clean?
How did you keep the pipes clean? That's pretty funny.
Well, first of all, this may come as a surprise to you. The 3 years I was with Robin, that was my fiance. I didn't mess around because I knew we was gonna get married. See, I am loyal. But
you
the other girls at one time they had worked for me, but that was a lot of them I never touched. I didn't have them before. Who wants to get them hooking at 30 other truckers in there? My romantic life, it was great. It's a vacation. We've been to Hawaii. Pride, Aruba, Kingston, Jamaica.
Wow.
It was just like, you know, it was no worse than yours. Probably better because I went to Dallas. I go places. That's how I did a lot of travel.
that's pretty dope.
His favorite city is Miami. He liked to visit Miami too.
Oh, Miami is a great city. Woo, get into some trouble there.
Phoenix was my number two city.
Phoenix, okay. Number two?
Wow.
There's a truck company up there named Palmer. He offered me a job, and I spent a month down there. I mean, it's nice. It's lovely. That nice mall y'all got? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Come out of Flagstaff, drop down on 15. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which mall did you go to?
Yeah.
Which mall?
I don't even know that. It's right off, what's that, 5?
Oh, off the 10.
I-10?
Okay.
Yes. It was lovely down there. Oh, my God.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be recorded and monitored.
Any other questions you have for him, lady?
Yeah. I know that I'm pretty sure you've got, two life sentences, but if they did let you out, what would you do?
I'll go back to doing what I'm doing. Go back to the trucking business. That's the only thing I ever done. That's
do you think you
like
got all the killing out of your system?
I'm quite sure.
She said, would you kill again?
Listen, y'all, like, what you mean you're out of my system? It was, they put it in there.
I know, like, just throwing your wild out.
I have never woken up and said, you know what, today's a great day. I think I'll strangle me a bitch or two. I ain't never done that. I'll be going off my day. Like, the ones in Toledo, they actually work for me. And they piss me off. It's rude. You break the rules, that's it. There you know, this ain't like baseball, 3-strike drop. I'm getting risked. I'm they're gonna tell on me, call the cops on me. I've been threatened, all that shit. I don't take no shit.
Are you remorseful for your crimes?
No, remorseful is for suckers and television. I ain't remorseful. I mean, I got caught. They stumbled upon me. I was on death row. Yes, I was on death row. And when I told that son of a bitch, I said, man, I can give you 3 cold cases right now. She just seen the look on his face.
Mm.
What? They didn't even know about.
Yep.
Seen the look. It was priceless. And they was ready to play ball right then and there. They told me, give us one. I said, no, I can get nothing. We'll suspend this trial, and I'll give you one. And I gave him the one and led it to him. And then after that, no more death row. So basically, I saved me.
So when you go to sleep... All of this is anger, you say? Well, I guess I'm wondering, like, is there any one particular crime or murder that, like, makes your mouth water and just, like, gets you excited that you, like, replay in your head?
Yes.
Which one?
Hey, Phil, that's an excellent question.
That's a good question. It is. I told you these ladies are good.
That is one.
Okay.
tell them about the one.
Yeah.
The one, the guy in Michigan.
This call is originating from an Ohio correctional facility and may be...
This is an unsolved case, ladies.
Whoa, okay.
The guy in Michigan, I've done him a solid up in Cleveland. So he said, come by for my money. It'll be 5G. So I go to his house. And all of a sudden, I get the big head disease. He was like, man, what you doing? I said, man, you told me to come at 7. That's why I'm here at 7. I would never be having it. So he took my $5 and just threw it on the fucking floor. I'm like, this son of a bitch. So I bashed him in the head with the fucking lamp. And that's it. And I yanked him out of his fucking throat. He was sitting on the couch when I hit the lamp. And I was sitting there strangling from behind. And he kept a gun underneath the cushion of the couch. And I leaned him that way because I seen him reaching for it. That was so fucking funny. He trying to get this gun. All the time he trying to stay alive and gasping for air. So I leaned him that way on purpose and I pulled him back. And I leaned him. And I let him. I was choking him. And I leaned him that way again. I let him and I pulled him back. Piece of shit.
So that makes
you laugh. They're speechless.
So if you can't kill and like mess around with people like that anymore, now that you're in the joint, what makes you laugh these days?
Because you didn't know, because the whole thing was simple. It was just a simple business like that. You told me to come at 7. I come at 7. And when I get there at 7, you piss me out for being there at 7. Then you just take my money, just throw it at my feet. After I did you a favor in Cleveland, I dropped something off for him in Cleveland. After I did it, and this is the treatment I get? No, Jack. He got the big head disease. Yes. you know, yeah, I don't know. He had some people backing him. Their paper was large, way larger than mine, and he was doing things on a way larger scale. I just only 20 pounds a week. This guy was losing like 20,000 pounds. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. He had that big head disease. That's what pisses me off.
So when you get pissed off, you laugh today.
Because I look at it because it was funny. Because I know the gun is underneath the sofa, and I lean in that way on purpose. And he thinks he's actually full of you that way, like he's actually getting somewhere, you know?
Go ahead, ladies. What else you got?
Go ahead, Beth. I was going to say, when you get angry like that, do you know what's going to happen, or just does it just happen?
It happens. I mean, I don't think that guy's going to be bad.
What, like, brings you joy or makes you laugh or smile to this day while you, like, what do you look forward to inside? Like, what makes you happy now?
Now, if I tell you, you wouldn't believe me.
I want to know.
No.
Talking to Phil.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I have no family member. Phil's my only link to the outside world. I look forward to it.
God bless you, Phil.
Everybody here just deserted me. I have no fiance, my family, but my niece. I mean, we've been separated for years. So it gives me joy. But overall, I find it somewhat thin. Like, you know, like right now, I'm sitting on my cell phone watching the Kansas City game. I'm eating chicken sandwiches.
Ooh.
It's commentary, but still.
Why don't you end with your five loves of life? Then we'll let you go. What are your
five loves of life?
Go ahead.
Sports, white women, money, big trucks. What am I missing?
And chicken.
Somebody needs to send him one of those Popeye's chicken sandwiches. Can we do that?
She wants to have a chicken sandwich with you, Popeye.
That's my favorite. I love that. Nothing like that. Well, I have six. Phil and Wendy. There's my six loves to buy.
Hey, Delmas Coleman, these ladies are great,
yes,
and I know they appreciate you stopping by here, man. Thanks
absolutely
so much for talking to us, all right?
Thank you, Dan.
Yeah, we do.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Take care. God bless.
Yesterday, after something, but you weren't there.
Call me tomorrow.
What time?
Call you anytime. Call me tomorrow.
All right,
bro. Bye. All right, ladies.
Damn! Oh my God, that was fucking amazing. Oh my God. So, Phil, is there anything else that you want to share with us or chat with us about? I think we've asked you all of the questions.
All I would say to your people who listen to you, I mean, you guys do a great job, and they know a lot of the names because of what you guys do. But some of the deadliest serial killers, not only are a lot of serial killers, you know, a majority of them black males, but a lot of the deadliest serial killers are black males. Coral Watts. Lon,
yes, Coral.
I just read off some names. Jake Bird, Eddie Lee Mosley.
Yep.
I mean, these are names that people don't know. Edward Surratt, Michael Hughes, Vincent Groves, Maury Travis, John Thomas. People that are just, they're unknown to the general public. You ladies and I, we know them, but I name those names and the people look at me like I'm crazy. Like, who are you talking about?
Right.
They just don't know. And
yeah,
so my goal, I want to leave you with my passion and my mission is to help stop these killers before they strike and to bring closure to those families, especially families of color who are missing their children and don't know where they are. And I former bond, you heard Delmas Colvin saying he's pretty serious. The guy, I mean, I'm his only friend, right? So
yeah,
he's confessing slowly to these crimes, and we're going to try to solve these cases, find these bodies, and bring closure for the family. So I like to say I speak for the dead. That's what I do.
I think that's wonderful, Phil. You know what?
Yeah,
I bet you're going to go straight to heaven. special spot for you up there, buddy. We want to thank you for connecting us with Delmas, for agreeing to chat with us, and sure. for guiding us through interviewing him, because you're right. He has a lot to say, so thanks for being so helpful there.
Sure.
Before we go, where can the people find you, follow you? What can we look forward to you or from you in the future?
Sure. Well, my website is my name, so it's philchalmers.com. If they go to philchalmers.com, they can get my books. They can get me on social media. They can send me an email, and I do respond to all my own emails that people would send me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I post a lot on Facebook, so Facebook's like the easiest way for me to post. But if you want to keep up with this kind of stuff, you know, there's a lot on the horizon. There's books, there's a podcast, and there's a TV show coming. So thanks.
Well,
I appreciate
you
guys. I love your show.
Thank you.
And
so
we'll
much.
Put links on our show notes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Let me know when it's done so I can listen to it, and I hope your people enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Too. Thanks, Phil.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Beth?
You still there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was crazy.
That was
insane.
I'm
so glad you were talking. Because I was like, I don't even know what to say.
I'm usually not without words, but I was without words. My hands are so
sweaty. Oh no, you had the words. You did great. This is why you're here.
Oh my
man, I'm good with the techie stuff, but Ooh. I was just like, oh my god.
Wow.
Now, if I had met him in a bar, I would have gone far, far away. I think.
Oh really? Oh, I probably would have talked to him.
Yeah.
Again, reminds me of like one of my uncles.
He was too chatty for me. I'd be like, you talk too much.
Yeah.
And you're kind of weird.
To be honest with you, he reminds me of one of my uncles, but also like one like my dad. He just sucks up all the air in the room.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my god.
Okay.
I need to calm down.
Yeah, me too.
That's so funny.
Oh, well,
didn't
thank you so much.
Black. Thank you so much.
I know.
All right, well, I'll